For Parshas Bo, we want to discuss the mitzvah of tefillin. We've discussed in the past, the Torah says in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Ches, V'igadeta levincha b'yom ahu leimar b'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi b'mitzrayim, in Pasuk Tes, V'hoylecha liyos al yodcha, uli zikaron b'in einecha, l'man tiyah Torah Hashem b'ficha. כי ביד חזקה הוציא לך השם ממצרים ושמרת את החוקה הזאת למועד מיום ומיומימה. And when the Torah says here in Pasuk Tes, Vohei lecha li'os al yodecha, Rashi says, Yitzias Mitzrayim tiyeh lecha li'os. Al yodecha ulzikaram ben einecha, says Rashi, Ratzo lomar, Shetichtov parshios halolu utakashreim barosh ubizroah. The Ramban emphasizes the point that the Torah clearly connects the mitzvah of tefillin with not only Torah Hashem b'ficha, but also with Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban writes on the pasuk V'hoylecha li'os al yodecha l'zikaron bein einecha l'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha shi'uro, we should interpret it thusly. V'hoylecha li'os al yodecha l'zikaron bein einecha ki biyad chazaka Hotziacha Hashem miMitzrayim. So the Ramban changes the order of the pasuk, and the mitzvah of Vahelecha Liyosa Yedech Zikro Benech is clearly key, is justified and connected to Biyad Chazak Hotziacha Hashem miMitzrayim, and therefore the Ramban writes Shetichtov Al Yodcha Al Bein Einech Yitzias Mitzrayim V'Tizkor Satomid. And as a result, Lamantia Torah Hashem b'ficha lishmar mitzvosav v'sorosav ki adonenu hapodcha mibeis avodim. So clearly, the mitzvah is rooted in Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's how the Ramban sees it in his Pirush al Torah, and he explains that the shoresh of this mitzvah of filling, if you call it perhaps the root of this mitzvah. And let's read the Ramban's language. He says, Shenaniach ksav yitzias mitzrayim al yad ve'al rosh kineged al lev ha-moach she mishkenos ha-machshov. It's the lev and the moach, which are both, in a sense, hosted by the machshova. There are The machshava is what emanates from both the lev and the moach. Now, what we'd like to see for just a moment here on page 2 of your Maror Makomos page is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch clearly connects the tefillin with the rosh and the lev. And that's why he writes in Simon Chaf Hei Hilchus Tefillin Sif Hei Yichavim Banachosom Shetzivonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lohaniach Arba Parshios Elu Sheish Bem Yichud Shmo V'Yitzis Mitzrayim Al Azra K'neged Alev V'Al HaRosh K'neged HaMoach. And then further on he says in the same Sif V'Yishtabed LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he should commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his entire essence, the neshama, which is the moach and the lev, shehu ikar taivos hamachshavos vehamachshavos. This is all to be committed to HaKadosh Baruch. So, b'li neder, later on, we would like to discuss this at great length, the connection between lev and moach, and how to really appreciate the Ramban's insights into tefillin, as brought down by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Siman Chaf Hei. What I would like to discuss with you now is tefillin from a halachic perspective. And I want to discuss with you two insights which are quoted here by the Harei Kedem of Rav Michal Shurkin in the name of Rav Salvation. Now this shall I say, limited edition of the Harei Kedem as a separate pamphlet on tefillin was given out at and a bar mitzvah. Very classically, we discuss tefillin and a bar mitzvah. That seems to be always traditionally a central topic. And in Simon Ches, he has a discussion here about Shmiras Kiddushas Tefillin. So I'd like to begin our discussion today of Hilchos Tefillin with this concept of Shmiras Kiddushas Tefillin. The original source for this concept is a sugya Menachas Lamed Vav Amid Beis. As you know, all the sugyas of Tefillin, with a few exceptions, are codified by the Gemara in Menachas. Omer Abulazar Kalaminiach Tefillin Li Achar Shkia Sachama Over B'Ese Rabbi Yochanan Omer Over B'Lav. The Gemara speaks very harshly about someone who puts on his Tefillin after Shkia Sachama. And this is codified by the Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillin Alochiyat Aleph. The Rambam writes, "Kol Aminiach Tefillin Lechatchila Achar Shetishka Chama Over Belav Shenemar Vishamarta Es Hachuka Hazos." And this pasuk, which we saw at the outset, Vishamarta Es Hachuka Hazos, is the source for the mitzvah of Shmiras Tefillin and for the isur of putting on tefillin after Shkia. And this is, as we saw earlier, Shmos Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud. The question that we want to raise here is, why Li'achar Shkia? Usually we divide the day into a unit of 24 hours into two parts, and the transition, the turning point, would be Tseis HaKochavim. Tseis HaKochavim with the beginning of Laila. Shkia Sacham after sunset is called Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And if we're talking about the Iser Lav here, that's derived from Vishamarta Sachuka Zos of Shmiras Tefillin, then we would anticipate that that lav would be violated with Laila, the onset of night, which halachically means Teis HaKochavim. And yet here, in the Rambam, we're talking about Meniach Tefillin Achar Shkia Sachama. Why would he violate the lav? I mean, you could call it a Suffolk Easter, but to say that, as the Rambam does, that he violates the lav with Shkia Sachama in that period of twilight, which is a Suffolk period, why would the Rambam, without blinking, call it an Averas Halav? Now, as we said earlier, most of the sugyas of Tefillin are in Masechta Menachas. There are a few scattered comments about Tefillin in Shas. One is a comment of Marzutra in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav. And Marzutra testifies Chazina Leila Rav Papi that he saw Rav Papa dechol emas demonach tefillin mevarech, that Rav Papi would apparently put on tefillin a number of different times during the course of the day, and each time he put on his tefillin he would make a bracha. Rabbanan de Be Rav Ashi omer kol emas de mishamshi behu mevarchinon. In other words, you would have gotten the impression based on the testimony of Marzutra about Rav Papi that when I take off my tefillin and then put them on, that's when I'll recite a second bracha. And the Rabbanon emphasized that that's not correct. But even if I don't take off my tefillin, I may need a second bracha. And that's the case of Mishamshi Behu when he's Mamashmesh B'tefillah. And it's not clear in the Gemara exactly what bracha he's going to recite at the point of Mishmush B'Tefillin, when he moves around his tefillin to make sure they're in the right spot. And Tosus there in Sukkah Mem Vav writes, V'lois Parish, it's not clear, Mai Havi Mevarech. What are the two possibilities, says Tosus, Im Mevarchin Lishmar Eschukov? Shall he make the bracha of Lishmar Eschukov from Shavarch Bas Masalkin Tefillin whenever we took off at Tefillin? This is again the minhag that existed back in the day. They would recite the bracha of Lishmar Chukov. Or should the bracha be the bracha of lo'aniach? Now, how do we view mishmush as a nu hanocha or as an act of shmiras atfilin? And this can be reflected in the bracha itself. Now, where's he coming from? Meaning, Tosus has this premise that there's a bracha called Lishmar Schukov when a person takes off his tefillin. What's the source for that? That indeed is a Gemara in Masechta Brachos on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. As I said, the sugyas of tefillin are scattered throughout Shas, although they're mostly concentrated in Menachos. The Gemara testifies in Brachos Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the Bnei Ma'arav, the members of the Israeli community in Eretz Yisrael, Basa de Mesalki Tefillai, who after they would take off their tefillin, Mevarchi Lishmar Chukov. They would recite a Bracha Lishmar Chukov, and Tosus there in Masechta Brachos, Ule Bnei Ma'arav, Tosus there assumes that only in the Bnei Ma'arav do they have such a minog of making a bracha when they took off their tefillin, and he writes Dafka Bnei Ma'arav Shayim in Hagam Lasalik Es Tefillin Kodem Alayla. Their minog was to be very careful not to wear tefillin into the night, but to make sure to remove the tefillin before nightfall. Is Shaychi Bracha at that point, because they were worried about Heschadas and Tefillin after Naila, the inability of one to watch himself and guard the Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin after Laila, at that point, before Laila, they would remove that Tefillin and they would recite the Bracha Lishmar Chukov, as the Pasuk says, V'shamarta es ha-chukah zos lemo'ada miyomim yomima. So what is this bracha? That's what we want to understand, of Lishmar Chukov. We take off our tefillin before Laila, and at that moment we make the bracha Lishmar Chukov. And as we saw before, the Gemara connects that to Mishmush in tefillin. That it could very well be, Tosfos vacillates back and forth, that when a person is Mimashmish b'tefillah, at that point he makes this bracha Lishmar Chukov. And Tosfos in Brachos clearly says that the Bnei Ma'arav had this minig of taking off that film before Laila, and that's when it was shy to make the bracha Lishmar Chukov. So we have two possible occasions on which this bracha was recited. Either for the Bnei Ma'arav, the minig that they took off that film before Laila, they recited the bracha Lishmar Chukov, or according to Tosus in Masechta Sukkah, it's possible, he's not sure about it, that when a person was mamash mesh b'tfilov, he would recite this same bracha lishmar chukov. So let's try to understand what this is all about, and we base ourselves on this very, very fundamental principle in the Bnei Ma'arav to take off the tefillin before Laila, because of the din of Vishamarta Esachuka Hazos, meaning Shmiras Hatfilin. Laila is not considered as man Roy Lishmiras Kedushas Tfilin, according to this Shita. And therefore, when we say Laila loves man Tfilin, we're saying two things. We're saying, first of all, that Laila does not engender a mitzvah, a chiyuv, an obligation of tefillin. And number two, we're saying that no, Laila is not a time for tefillin, because Laila doesn't lend itself to shmiras, kedushas, tefillin. And this all makes sense now, that the bracha for a person who takes off his tefillin before nightfall, like the Bnei Ma'arav did, is Lishmar Chukov. That bracha is a bracha on that very kiyum of Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin, which is a kiyum that's obtained when we guard the tefillin, in this case when we take off the tefillin before nightfall. And this is not the only occasion in which we see that Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin is essential to the mitzvah of tefillin. It's also true in the Mechilta, on the pasuk that we saw, Vishamarta, The Mechilta establishes that katan sheyodea lishmar tefillin and only a katan sheyodea lishmar tefillin is chay of the mitzvah chinuch. If a katan doesn't know how to be shomer kedushas tefillin, he would not wear tefillin. V'chein adin she'asa lishon b'tefillin. Also, we have an isur to sleep in tefillin, shemi yafiach behem, that he won't be able to control his body while he's sleeping, and that again will be mechalel, that would be pogen, the kedushas tefillin. So therefore, one should not sleep wearing tefillin. And in general, we would say that the principle is that tefillin require a guf naki, a body, a human body that's absolutely clean, it's immaculately clean. And all this is really, you can add it up to one principle, and that's v'shamartas chachukah zos. That's the yisod of everything we've been saying, whether it means taking off your tefillin before nightfall because you can't watch your tefillin after nightfall, whether it is the katan who doesn't know how to be shomer's tefillin should not be wearing tefillin, and the general principle that tefillin require guf naki, all this measures up to v'shamarta esachukah zos, that shmiras tefillin. And we can go a step further and say that the din of shmiras kedushas tefillin is an essential part of the kiyum mitzvah tefillin. Katan, for example, that doesn't know how to be shomer's tefillin, he's not mature enough to reach that stage, then he's patur from the mitzvah of chinuch, even vis-a-vis the mitzvah of putting on the tefillin. Why is a katan patur from putting on the tefillin? The answer is because he's not capable of shmiras kedushas tefillin, which is an essential part of the kiyum mitzvah tefillin. And therefore, when we go to sleep, we don't wear tefillin. That's not just a p'tur, that is a separate halacha in shmiras kedushas tefillin, that he should have a guf naki. When he sleeps, he's not able to watch his guf to guarantee that it's a guf naki. And the heftz of tefillin itself generates, when it's being worn on a person, generates the chiyuv of shmiras kedushas tefillin. Therefore, tefillin cannot be worn at night. And now we can go back to the Tosus in Sukkah, who vacillates back and forth. When the Rabbanan would be mamashmesh b'tefillin, what bracha would they make? And that's what Tosfos' suffix is. That maybe the bracha on mishmash b'tefillin is identical with the bracha on shmiras tefillin, shmiras kedushas tefillin, lishmar chukav. In other words, why do we have to be mamashmesh b'tefillin b'chol shah? Why are we having this constant awareness of that tefillin? And more than just awareness, we're holding on to that tefillin, make sure that they didn't get moved and they're exactly where they should be and they're tied properly. This is a din of kedushas tefillin. We have to be shomer kedushas tefillin, and mishmush is a way in which we're shomer kedushas tefillin. And now we begin to understand why Tosfos thinks that there's at least a logical possibility that the bracha should be lishmar chukav. So Tosfos is equating mishmush b'tefillin with shmiras kedushas tefillin, and that's the case of the Bnei Marava, as quoted by Tosfos in Brachos, who would take off that tefillin before Laila, because Laila doesn't lend itself to shmiras kedushas tefillin, and they would be mevarech the bracha ushmarta esachukah lishmar chukav. Now, if a person puts on his tefillin at night, let's say he's not interested in the kiyum mitzvah of tefillin, nevertheless he still violates this law of v'shamarta esachukah zos. The iser is not a result of altosiv, because he adds a mitzvah at a time when that mitzvah is not in place, but rather the problem, the aver that he's violating, is the heftza of levisha itself, not the l'shem mitzvah. The l'shem mitzvah would be a baltosiv problem at night, but the levisha itself, as a separate maisa levisha of tefillin at night, engenders a violation of shmiras kedushas tefillin. And if this be the case, perhaps we could swing by to our original question about the Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillin, that the Rambam says that if someone were to don his tefillin at night, he would violate the isur lav of shmartas achukas zos. And the Rambam says that isur, the inception of that isur, is with shkiyas achama. Why is Lila kicked off by shkiyas achama? And the answer probably lies in the first sugyan brachos, when the Gemara talks about the time for kriyat shma shel arvis b'shalbacha, and the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Beis quotes Tanoim that were of the opinion that with shkia, and maybe even before shkia, the mitzvah of b'shalbacha of kriyat shma shel arvis kicks in. Why? I mean, it's after all before Lila. The answer is b'shalbacha means at isman shchiva. And Zman Shechiva, again, back in the day when they didn't have electricity, was a lot earlier, considerably earlier than what it is today. Who goes to sleep at the time of Shkia at sunset? But that's what they did then. And that engenders the mitzvah d'oraisa of u'bishalbacha. And it's very logical to assume, in the Rambam Perek Dal Milchus Tefillin, that this definition of Laila as Zman Shechiva can be grafted onto the laws of Ushmarta Esachuka Zos. That we're not allowed to put on tefillin Balaila, because that's not a time that's appropriate for Shmiras Kedushas tefillin, and then we violate, if we put on the tefillin after Shkia, we violate the lav of Ushmarta Esachuka Zos. And why is it that with Shkia we violate this lav? That should only be a suffix. The answer is that the lav does not depend on the universal definition of Laila, but rather the definition of Laila as man shechiva, the time we go to sleep. Because what engenders this Easter of putting tefillin on at night? It's the fact that we're going to sleep. Again, whether we are or not going to sleep is irrelevant, but it's a time period of sleep. And that time period, according to the halacha, is kicked off by shkia sachama. Now, we should really embellish the Shtikl Torah by adding the Rif. You know, the Rif has authored a Hilchus Tefillin, and he writes that Laila Lav Zman Tefillin, we don't wear Tefillin at night, the Mitzvah Tefillin is gone, it's a daytime Mitzvah. Okay, that's fine. Then he writes, V'ameniach Tefillin B'Laila Over B'Lav Shalu Shmarta Zachuka Zos. If one puts on tefillin at night, then he violates the lav of Ushmarta. Ushmarta es achuka hazos. And this is a little bit problematic, because the Rif happens to be of the opinion that if somebody goes out on a trip, he has a planned journey, and he's leaving very early in the morning before the Zman of Tefillin, Mutar, says the Rif, L'misha rotza lotzeis b'laderech l'anicham kodem zmana. And the Rif quotes the sugya in Menachas Daf Lamed Vav. Again, it's absolute Laila, according to all universal halachic definitions. It's mamish Laila. And the question is, how can he put on tefillin at night when there's an Issa Gomor, Mi'at Torah, L'aniach tefillin b'lailas? We saw Rabbi Yochanan says over b'la. But the answer perhaps is that since he woke up early and he wants to go out to the derech, he's got a journey, then within the halachic, within the, the framework of Hilchas tefillin, and specifically Hilchas Shmiras tefillin, we consider as if the day began already. He's not going to sleep, he's getting up from sleep. He's not getting into bed, he's starting his entire day. He's out on a journey. That's considered Hanochas Tefillin B'Yom. That's not called Bittul Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin. That's like a Hanocha B'Yom. Because his day started when it's still nightfall out. And that explains the Rif, because the Rif paskens on the one end that Laila Lav Zman Tefillin and Meiniach Tefillin B'Laila over B'Lav Shalu Shmarta, and at the same time, from the same mouth, the breath, the Rif establishes that if someone's going out to the Derech, he can put on his Tefillin even when it's pitch blackout. And it's certainly Laila, but we just finished saying that Laila Lav Zman Tefillin. And the answer is that when he wakes up early to go out to the journey, that's not considered Laila. For him, Laila is gone. Now Yom has begun. He's out there for his daily chores, his daily challenges. He's going with Derech. It's already considered Yom. And this explains why the Rif, even though he passes at Laila Lazman, Tvin allows someone who wakes up early and it's pitch black outside, Hishkim wrote to Lots of the Death, to wear Tefillah. And perhaps we could push this all into the Rambam. We started with the Rambam Perek Dalet Hilchos Tefillin Aluch Yidalef. Let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Misha Iniyach Tefillin Kodem Shkia Sachama. He put on Tefillin when he was still allowed to put on Tefillin, before Shkia, V'choshcha. Now it became dark. V'hein Olav, and he's still wearing Tefillin. Is Afilu Hein Olav Kol Halayla Muter. The Rambam has no problem with a person wearing Tefillin at night. With a person who put on his tefillin before Shkia Sachama, and he's still wearing them at night. Aye, he has Anochas tefillin b'layla. Okay, he didn't do it actively, he did it passively, but so what? How can he be wearing tefillin in Laila? So the answer is the Rambam apparently has this new definition that the Iser of tefillin b'layla is in the Maisa Anocha. That's the way the Halacha, that's the way the Rabbanim formulated that Iser. And in this case, he's wearing tefillin from Mib'od Yom, from before Shkia Sacham, and he can continue wearing them. Because the Hanocha of Tefillin, in this case, was Hanochas Yom. When does the Rambam say that he violates a law? That's with Hanochas Laila. But here, in this case, his Hanocha was defined as Hanochas Yom because he put on his Tefillin before Shkia. And since the beginning of his Hanocha was by Yom, it's always going to be considered Hanochas Yom, and it'll never be considered a bittul of mitzvahs, shmiras, kedushas atfilin. And perhaps that's what the Gemara means in Menachas Taflamid Vavam in Beis, Omar Abulazar im Shamran Mutar. In other words, if let's say a person puts on tefillin at night and his purpose, his goal was to be shomer the tefillin, and he wanted to remove it from one domain and get it closer in to the house, is it means that ein hanochas laila hafka shmiras atfilin. That if you have a hanocha that is done for the sake of shmiras tfilin, then even though it happens to be belaila, that's not mafkir the fact that it's a hanocha of shmiras tfilin. And in a similar way, we could say that if somebody puts on his tefillin before Shkia and he keeps them on at night, that's not considered that he's being mevatel the mitzvah of shmiras kedushas tefillin, because basically it's hanochas yom, and if it's hanochas yom, he'll be shomer the kedushas tefillin. Don't worry about it; you can rely on him. Umiata, he says, now what's the pirush of the bracha b'nei maravi v'tzivano lishmar chukov? After all, the pasuk of Ushmarta Esachuka Zos, which engenders the chiyuv to remove the tefillin whenever you get to a time period that's mufka from Shmiras Kedushas tefillin. What we derive from this pasuk, Ushmarta Esachuka Zos, is an obligation to remove the tefillin whenever you come to the point in time where there's the Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin is paka. It's a zman that's mufka from Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin. And therefore, by removing the tefillin, which we call chalitza tefillin before night, he is doing a maisa mitzvah v'shmartem as Shmiras Tefillin. And that's why he is obligated to make a bracha. And perhaps we could add that if the Bnei Marava are reciting a bracha, they should take off that tefillin me'umad, because all mitzvahs we do in a standing position. So when he takes off his tefillin, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of shmiras tefillin, and therefore he should stand for that mitzvah. Now, we would like to discuss Siman Zayin, which is the seder of hanochas tefillin. But here we have to rewind to Perek Gimel Hilchos Tefillin and really analyze meticulously how the Rambam formulates the Maisa Mitzvah of Hanochas Tefillin. And to the same extent we learn from what the Rambam says, we equally learn from what the Rambam omits, what he doesn't say. And here, the Hashmatas HaRambam is so obvious. The Rambam doesn't tell us about, in the case of Tefillin Shel Yad, the wrapping, the kricha, of the Tefillin Shel Yad al Hazroa. All the Rambam speaks about here is the krichos winding, as it were, the ritzuos of Tefillin Shel Yad on the etzba, and on the other side he ties it down. And the Rambam writes again, Per Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, he writes, V'orech ritzua shel yad kidei shetakif es hasarua v'yikshar mimena hakesher v'timtach ritzua achas al arba ha'emtsoyos v'yichoch mimena ad etzbo shalosh krichos v'yikshar. So there's a lot here in this Rambam. The Rambam is telling us about all the different parts of the Ma'is HaNochas Tefillin Shel Yad, and the Rambam emphasizes the krichos, the wrappings of the ritzua of the Tefillin Shel Yad around the middle finger. And after he wraps the tefillin around the middle finger three times around, then the yikshar. Then he ties the tefillin on the palm side of his hand, so that the ritzua should not go loose. So the Rambam again leaves out all of the krichos on the upper arm and on the lower arm. This is all left out. The Rambam's emphasis is merely on the krichos of the etzba. And indeed, the Rav said that his grandfather Reb Chaim was knowing. That was his actual minog, would be to be mevarech on tefillin shel yad, that's the first bracha, and then he would wrap the tefillin all the way until his etzba, including his etzba. And that was before he got up to tefillin shel rosh. Meaning, you don't start another mitzvah until you fill the first mitzvah. Well, when is the first mitzvah completed? And if you read the Rambam carefully with regard to Tefillin Shel Yad, he seems to indicate, he indicates clearly, that the termination or the apex of the mitzvah Tefillin Shel Yad are the krichos around the etzba emtsayis. And therefore, Reb Chaim would make sure not to make the bracha on the Tefillin Shel Rosh until after he wrapped the Tefillin Shel Yad, the ritzuos Tefillin Shel Yad, all the way down to the end, meaning including the krichos around the etzba ha'emtsoyis, because that's absolutely critical to complete the hanocha of tefillin. Now, there is a tshuva of the Rambam in Pe'er Hadar, Siman Ayin Gimel. He was asked about the kshira on the etzba, how important it is, and the Rambam writes, Kasher yoniach haritzua al hakibores, oz havi hakesher haikri. So the main kesher is the one up on top near the bayis of the shel yad. V'oz tzorech levarech. And at that moment, he recites the bracha. Omnam hakshira al haetzpa tia achar habracha. V'oz yek shira tama. So it's a little bit ambiguous here. This tshuva the Rambam on the one hand emphasizes the hanochas haritzua al hakibores. That's the main kesher when you lay down the bias of your shel yad on the arm, on the upper arm, and that's when the Rambam requires a bracha. And then he writes that the kshira on the etzba will be after the bracha. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the Rambam is telling us here. He says, hakshira al etzba tia achar habracha. Well, that makes 100% sense. Obviously, the kshira on the etzpa is an essential part of Hanochas Tefillin Shel Yad, and therefore the Rambam says that this kshira on the etzpa should take place after sometime, he doesn't tell you how long, after the bracha has been recited. And is this before he puts on the tefillin shel rosh or after? It could go either way. You know, by putting all his emphasis on the hanochas tefillin, that's called ukshartem. The hanochas tefillin al kiboris. You get the impression that the tefillin wrapped around his finger, those krichos are secondary, if significant at all. But from the fact that the Rambam says that the ritzua al kiboris is going to be the kesher ha'ikri, the main kesher, but nevertheless, the Rambam goes out of his way to specify that following the bracha, he's got to do the kshira on the etzpa. That might indicate that the completion of the mitzvah of ukshartem in the tefillin shel yad is with the kshira on the etzpa. And that would reflect, that would support the sheet of Reb Chaim, that we should not go ahead and be mavarech on the tefillin shel rosh until we finish that mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, which means we finish the krichos of the etzba ha'emtzoi. The Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillin at the beginning says, "Heichad minichin at tefillin shel rosh minichin osal kadkod," and then he writes, "Shel yad kosher osal al smola." So with regard to tefillin shel rosh, the Rambam makes no mention whatsoever, neither of kshira nor of hiduk. It would seem clear, therefore, from the omission of the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Dalet, that the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh is just hanacha, putting it on the forehead, not on the forehead, I mean to say on the top of his head. In contrast, in the second paragraph in Halacha Beis in Perek Dalet, the Rambam, when he speaks about tefillin shel yad, he speaks about kshira al smola, meaning tying down the bias onto the arm. But in tefillin shel rosh in Halacha Aleph, he makes no mention of kshira or of even tightening the tefillin shel rosh on the head. You know, when we press down on the ritzuas on both sides to make sure that the tefillin shel rosh is firmly attached to the head and it's not flopping around. All that is omitted by the Rambam. So when we talk about hiduk, you know, tightening the bias, whether it's in the case of tefillin shel yad onto the arm or tefillin shel rosh onto the head, the Rambam makes a clear distinction here between the shel yad and the shel rosh. The hiduk of the shel yad is critical. That's kshira, and maybe that's reflected by the pasuk ukshartem or somebody else ayodecha. Whereas in the case of ahayu l'tol tofels beinecha of tefillin shel rosh, the Rambam completely omits mention of any sort of hiduk or kshira, just hanocha al gabi akadkod. And the Rav Zichron Levracha pointed out that the Rambam is against the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, the sheet of Tosfos and Menachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Tosfos there holds that kshira in tefillin shel yad is hiduk, and Tosfos goes a step further and he says gam b'tefillin shel rosh, there too there's a din of kshira which is fulfilled through hiduk when we tighten down the shel rosh onto our head. The Rambam, on the one end, is paskin by the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Chaf Hei, namely that the hiduk applies to shel yad, no mention in this case shel rosh, whereas the Ramah in Siman Chaf Hei Sif Ches paskins like the Tosfos that the mitzvah of ukshartem has to be fulfilled through hiduk as a kshira, when you really tighten down the bias onto the arm. And from the Rambam, you get the impression that you have a full-fledged fulfillment of the mitzvah, the obligation of tefillin shel rosh with hanocha. And the reason for that is, perhaps, because according to the Rambam, in the case of tefillin shel rosh, the Torah never required kshira. The pasuk ukshartem is referring to tefillin shel yad and not to shel rosh. And here in Perek Dalet, that seems to be what the Rambam indicates when he writes, Mitzvah Tefillin Hilanicham Al Harosh. The Hanoch on the Rosh is critical. And when he gets to Shalyad, Lekoshun Al Hayat, that there it's Mitzvah Kshira. It says Ukshartim, but Ukshartim is only referring to Shalyad and not to Shal Rosh. And therefore, the mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Rosh is V'ha'il Teltofos Beinei Necha. And all you need for the whole Teltofos Beinei Necha is simply Hanochas Tefillin Al Rosh. Just plop down, place down the Tefillin on your head. You don't need Kshira, you don't need Hiduk, there's no Ukshartem. The only mitzvah of Ukshartem is with regard to Tefillin Shel Yad. And it would seem that this sheet of the Rambam is not just the Rambam. But the Rav said that the Ramban's Rebbe, the Ribar Yakar, in his Siddur, also seems to reflect the Shittas of Rambam. The Ribar Yakar says that Shal Rosh, with regard to Tefillin Shal Rosh, Eino Ki Im Metzach Bialma, he has to lay it down on his head, below Hiduk. V'hainu v'hoilu tel tofos, v'yein adab yachal lahadkam v'rosh, the Ribar Yaka completely omits Hiduk, excludes Hiduk from the mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Rosh, and he requires a bracha for Tefillin Shel Rosh, al mitzvah Tefillin, simply for the fact that the Tefillin Shel Rosh are munachos al Rosha. And that would also support what we said in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Dalet says nothing about Hiduk or Kshiru with regard to Tefillin Shel Rosh. The mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Rosh is fulfilled simply with Hanocha. No, it means that Hiduk doesn't play a role according to this sheet of the Rambam and the Ribar Yakar, the Rivi, with regard to Tefillin Shel Rosh. There's no Hiduk at all. And therefore, a person who puts the Tefillin Shel Rosh on his head and then he recites the bracha, which is the way that we do it today, that would make no sense. The bracha, according to this shita of the Rambam and the Ri Bar Yochar, would have to come before the Hanoch al Gabei Rosh, not before the Hiduk. The Ramo, we understand, Paskins in Simon Chaf Hei Sif Ches, that the bracha should be after you put the Tefillin al Rosh on your head and before you tighten it onto your head. Because the Rama paskins that it's not enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Shel Rosh with Hanocha itself without Hiduk. We need Hanocha plus Hiduk. But those who have the Shita of Hanocha per se, then it would be a little bit too late to make the bracha after Hanocha. Because after Hanocha is like after Hiduk, according to our Minuk. And that would be a bracha after Hiduk, which is completely in violation of the principle of Overlasi Yasan. So Nochamal, what we have here is an insight into two Rishonim, that Tefillin Shel Rosh requires V'hayu Tatafos Beinecha, just being Munachos Ala Rosh, there's no requirement of Hiduk. And therefore the bracha will be even before you place the tefillin on your head. The other shita, which is the Ramah's shita, as codified in Siman Chaf Hei, namely that there is hiduk in tefillin shel yad. I'm sorry, there is a mitzvah of hiduk in tefillin shel rosh. Therefore, the bracha should be logically recited after Hanoch HaGabei Rosh, before hiduk. Because that's the closest to the end of the Asiya, the end of the fulfillment of the Maisa Mitzvah. Now, one could have argued, perhaps, that the bracha should be recited after Hanocha al Rosho, before he moves around the tefillin, you know, he shakes his head a little bit, makes sure it's sitting in the middle of his head. But the Ri Bar Yochar rejects that possibility as well. And he writes, Masha ein mevarchim likshar, why don't we make a bracha on kshira? And he says, because the ikra mitzvah is ba'abotim la'nicham, is the anochas ha'abotim barosho. And therefore it would make no sense to recite the bracha likshar. is doch mitzvah hanochi says Eino al haritzuos ela al abatim v'myaniach abatim al rosham. And if he delays the bracha, the acharkach yivarech, is he a chasalo over lasiyosan? He'll miss the kiyum of over lasiyosan, because the kiyum of mitzvah tefillin in the case of shal rosh v'hayul totofas v'inecha is immediate upon the hanocha. So therefore, it's crystal clear that according to the Rebar Yoka, the bracha is not formulated on kshira hiduk in the case of tefillin shal rosh, but rather on hanocha. And therefore, the Rebar Yoker advocates, or even stronger than that, we should say, he requires that the bracha be recited before the mitzvah of Hanocha is fulfilled, maybe before the bias is let down, resting, as it will, on the head of the person. So again, the Rebar Yoker doesn't have the possibility of first placing the bias on the rush and then reciting a bracha, because if that be the case, there's no overlasiyosin here, because there's no asiyah beyond hanochas tefillin al gabi rosho. I'm a little perplexed by the language of the Riyaka personally, and I'm speaking on my own behalf and only on my own behalf, because he writes ikar mitzvah babatim lanicham bizroo uberosho. He seems, the Rebar Yoker, to be answering another question. Why don't we make the bracha on the shel yad likshar? After all, the Torah says ukshartem. And his answer to that is that even in the case of shel yad, the ikar mitzvah is hanochas habatim v'rosho ube zroa. Bizro v'rosho. Clearly, the Rebar Yoker is talking about tefillin shel yad as well as tefillin shel rosh, in answering, and combines them in both together in his answer to the question why we don't make a bracha on likshar, and his answer is one and the same for both zro and rosh, for both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, namely that the ikar mitzvah is hanocha sabatim. And therefore it would seem to me that if you read the Rebar Yoker literally, and I don't know of anybody who says this, he would advocate reciting the bracha on the shel yad before the hanocha, no doubt about it, with regard to shel rosh. The bracha should be recited according to the Rebar of Yochar before the Hanochas HaTfilin al Rosh. I'm suggesting that if you read carefully the language of the Rebar of Yochar in his Siddur, he seems to say that the Shel Yad, no less than the Shel Rosh, is a mitzvah of Hanocha, Hanocha Bizroa. He doesn't mention Kshira. In fact, he's trying to answer the question why the Nusach HaBrach doesn't reflect Kshira. But be that as it may, what opens up clearly in front of our eyes is the possibility that, a strong possibility, that with regard to tefillin shel rosh, the bracha should be recited before hanocha al gabi arosh. Now, our minig is that we recite the bracha on tefillin shel rosh after hanocha al gabi rosh, and we recite the bracha on mitzvah tefillin. And the question is, at least according to the way we define the Rambam and the Rebar Yoker, isn't that too late and we've already forfeited over lasiyosan? Because in fact, the tefillin on munachos al rosho, and that's it. That's the finito of the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh. So the Rav has a Rashi in Menachos Daf Lamed Vav, which might indicate that there is no din of overlasiyasa with regard to tefillin shel rosh. That's a big pella. That's a revolutionary chiddush, because Rashi says in Masechta Menachos that the bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin, i.e. the bracha we recite on rosh, was formulated on the gemar mitzvahs tefillin. And I think what Rashi is saying is that we integrate tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh into one whole entity, even though again these are two mitzvahs which are not ma'akvo zu, and if you only have a tefillin shel rosh, that's what you put on. But nevertheless, the tefillin shel rosh, if it follows the tefillin shel yad, completes the entire mitzvah. There are two kiyumim here. There's the kiyum of tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh respectively as a separate independent unit, and there's a kiyum of combining them together into one element, and that's called birchas al mitzvah tefillin al gmar mitzvahs tefillin. And if that be the case, then even after you did the hanocha, meaning even after you place the bias of the shel rosh onto your head, there's still room for the bracha, because there's no requirement of Ovelasiyasa. Why is there no requirement of Ovelasiyasa? Because the bracha is not on the Asiya, the action of Tefillin Shel Rosh, but rather on the Gemar Mitzvah, on the state of being, if you will, of having this Gemar Mitzvah. You can only obtain the Gemar Mitzvah once or after you have placed the Tefillin Shel Rosh on the head. And therefore, there's no reason for Ovelasiyasa. We don't have to get nervous about the fact that the bracha is recited after the hanacha, and that is our minug. Just that our minug reflects the Ramah, it's after the hanacha but before the hiduk. And how do we square our minug with the Ram and the reverb yakar? Well, I don't know if we have to do that, but if one wanted to do that, he could simply say that although the hiduk element is completely omitted according to the Ram and the reverb yakar in the case of Tefillin Shel Rosh, but nevertheless, there's no requirement of Ovelasiyasan. And this could be embellished even further by the fact that the Torah doesn't say Uksharitem with regard to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. It only says Vehayu L'tol Tofos. And the word Vehayu implies that there's no Maisa Mitzvah. It's just a state of being, you know, that the Tefillin are on. And if that be the case, if there's no Maisa Mitzvah, but rather just the state of being of Vahayu, then there's no requirement of Ovelasiyasan. Ovelasiyasan means just what it says. You know, Over means before the Asiya. You make the bracha before the Asiya, but in the case of Tefillin Shel Rosh, there is no Asiya, there's no active Pu'ula. It's getting the Tefillin on my head so that now Vahayu Tatafos, the Tefillin are in the state of being where they have to be. And therefore we understand very well why the bracha was formulated as al mitzvah tefillin. Normally a bracha would be on a ma'isa mitzvah, like lehaniach or whatever it might be. But al mitzvah tefillin is a bracha that's formulated on the vahayu, on the state of being. The Rambam is also of the opinion, Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet, that if all you have is Tefillin Shel Rosh, you still recite the bracha al mitzvah tefillin, and that becomes crystal clear, because there's no mitzvah of kshira or hiduk in Tefillin Shel Rosh, according to the Rambam. The mitzvah is only v'hayu, the state of being on your head, and if the bracha on Tefillin Shel Rosh is always going to be al mitzvah tefillin. Now, the Beis Yosef in Simon Chaf Hei, and the Taz also in Siman Chaf Hei, quote a machlokes whether we should recite the bracha on Tefillin Shel Yad before the hanacha or wait till after the hanacha before the hiduk. Our minig is before the hiduk, but there is a dea, an opinion in the Rishonim that's not to be left out, that the bracha should be recited before you put the hanacha of the Tefillin Shel Yad on the body. And I would have said that maybe even in Tefillin Shel Yad, the Iker Mitzvah is having the Tefillin Munachos Al Gufo. But perhaps, says the Rav, we can interpret this Machlokes in a different vein, in a different light. The Machlokes is, we explained quite clearly that Tefillin Shel Rosh has a Mitzvah of a Hayu, that it should be on your head. And even according to the Shita of Tosfos of Rabbeinu Tam, that you need Hiduk and Kshira and Tefillin Shel Rosh, there's still, in addition to the Hiduk and the Kshira, is a mitzvah of Ahayu, of the Havaya Sak Tefillin, of having the Tefillin, that state of being, in addition to Kshira. And therefore, one could really explain the Machlokas Rishon very beautifully. In the case of Tefillin Shel Yad, if there's a tefillin of kshira and that's a mitzvah of kshira and that's it, if the entire mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Yad exhausts itself in kshira, then the only way I could justify the bracha over lasiyasa would be before the maisa kshira, before the hiduk. But the other possibility is to say that even in Tefillin Shel Rosh, in addition to the mitzvah of kshira, there's also a mitzvah of havaya, of ahayu, of having the Tefillin Shel Yad on his hand, like Tefillin Shel Rosh, is then one could say that even before he places the Tefillin Shel Yad on his Roah, he should be making the bracha. Now, where we see that there's a Vahayu with regard to Tefillin Shel Yad, And here the Rav brilliantly quotes a Gemara in Menachos and Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara wants to know, Rabbah wants to know, why is it, what's the source for taking off the Tefillin Shel Rosh before we take off the Tefillin Shel Yad, Minayin, how do we know this? And he quotes a svar in the name of Huna that the Torah says, V'hayu l'totofos b'neinecha, kol zman sh'b'neinecha yushtayim. Totofos in plural is meant to teach us, to indicate that we should have both tefillin on when they join together as one entity of v'hayu, and only after we proceed to remove the tefillin, we take off the tefillin shel rosh first, because the tefillin shel rosh should always be on the head together with the tefillin shel yad al zroah. And if we were to start with the tefillin shel yad, then the totofos wouldn't be able to be makuya, meaning the vahayu of having both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh simultaneously on his head would not be fulfilled. He's wearing tefillin shel rosh without tefillin shel yad. The halacha doesn't have much toleration for wearing tefillin shel rosh without tefillin shel yad under normal circumstances, meaning if he has both tefillin. In any event, it's clear, says the Rav, from the Gemara of Rabbah in Masechta Menachos Lamed Vav, that the word vahayu relates and refers to both Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. Even Tefillin Shel Yad is included under Vahayu, and therefore you need Vahayu of Shteyem, that you should have both Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad together on his body simultaneously. And this is really the Yesod HaPlukta, whether or not you can recite a bracha on Tefillin Shel Yad before the Hanukkah or Dafka after the Hanukkah. If there's no mitzvah other than kshira, there's no vahayu, then clearly the brach should be recited after the hanukha, before the kshira. But if, on the other hand, as we wanted to indicate from the Gemara of Rabbah, there's a mitzvah vahayu that applies even to tefillin shel yad, then the brach should be recited before the hanukha al zroah, before he starts the kiyum mitzvah. So if you see someone who recites a bracha on his tefillin shel yad before the actual hanukha, again, our meaning is to wait till after the hanukha and in between the hanukha and the hiduk, but if you see someone who puts it on before he recites the bracha, before the hanukha, then don't laugh the man in the base medrash. He's not saying something ridiculous. Because if, as we saw in the Gemara Rabbah, the Vihayu applies to both Tefillin Shel Rosh and even Tefillin Shel Yad, so then the Hanukh itself is a Kiyum of Vihayu. And if one delays his Bracha until after the Tefillin Shel Yad are on his Zroah, even though the Bracha is over Lasiyosin as far as Hiduk and Kshira is concerned, but it's not over Lasiyosin as far as Vihayu L'Totofos. Just want to end the Shia. The Rav quotes the Baal HaMor at the end of Rosh Hashanah regarding the Iser of speaking between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the Baal HaMor's language is very revealing. He says, "Kadesh Tei Havaya Achas L'Shtein." And it would seem quite clearly that according to the Baal HaMor, Bein B'Tefillin Shel Yad and Bein B'Tefillin Shel Rosh, there's a Havaya of simply having the Tefillin on your body, not the pool of Kshira. And he breaks up this Havaya Achas L'Shteyem if he speaks with a Sicha between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. But in any event, you see clearly that the Baal HaMor is also operating with this premise that the Kiyum of Ahayu is not limited to Tefillin Shel Rosh, but it's also an additional dimension to Tefillin Shel Yad, meaning that Tefillin Shel Yad has both Ahayu and Kshira at the same time, and therefore make logical sense to justify that shita quoted in the Beis Yosef in Chaf Hei, that the bracha of Tefillin Shel Yad should be recited before the Hanukha al Zroah, because he wants the bracha to be chal not just on the hiduk and the kshira that comes later, but also on the Hanukha, on the Vahayu, in which case Vahayu applies to Tefillin Shel Yad no less than it does to Tefillin Shel Rosh. Okay, that's just a little bit of an insight into the Seder Anochas Tefillin according to Rav Soloveitchik. We'll stop here. Thank you.